to enjoy the holiday. I know my father-in-law died on the 4th of July, and I think about that every 4th of July. And I wanted you to hear the Christmas story, though we've gotten it quite a bit this morning, from Luke, just like Linus shares in the Charlie Brown special. And then I want to tell you a story of what happened close to Christmas one year in 1873. So the Christmas story from Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to be registered. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there were no guest rooms available for them. And there were shepherds living among the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those with whom God's favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as the angel had told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. All right. It's nice to hear the Christmas story even over and over. So now I want to tell you a tragic story that has peace in it. The Spafford family, they lived in Chicago. Horatio Spafford, he was a lawyer, and he must have made some pretty good money because he gathered up all his money in about 1871. He gathered up all his money, you know, cashed in all his CDs and 401ks. I don't think they had those. And he put it into real estate. That's what Lucy wanted all the time, real estate. He put it all in real estate in that great, vast city of Chicago. And later that year, there was a fire. Now, you have a city that's built of wood, and you have lots of people living and heating with wood, and when they bring in a Christmas tree, it just sits there drying out, and they clip on candles that they might on Christmas Eve all light and let burn and admire for a few minutes before they put them back out and stuff. You got to expect there's going to be a few house fires in a large, large city. But this wasn't just a house fire. This was the Great Chicago Fire. I think in grade school we read about Mrs. O'Leary's cow knocked over the lantern, and that started the whole thing. In that, the Great Chicago Fire, 300 people died. And I am amazed that it wasn't more people, because do you want to know how many buildings were destroyed? 17,450 buildings were destroyed. How they only had 300 people die from the fire, I have no idea. And Horatio lost an awful lot of his investment, lost much of his savings in the fire. And so a year or so later, that was hard on their finances. A year or so later, the country had a bit of a depression, and that was hard on their finances too. They must have had some money though, because they said, well, let's just go on a vacation. We're going to go, they're going to take a boat from New York to Europe. They were going to, something about Christmas in Paris. But I know that they were good friends with D.L. Moody, the evangelist, and they were going to hear him speak in London, his London crusade. That was a big part of the planned journey. So they went to New York City, and you know, they arranged ride on this boat, the Ville du Havre. I do not know how to speak French. But it's funny, that boat used to be called the Napoleon III, but after he lost, they decided they'd change the name. And at some point, it went from a steam-powered paddle boat to one with a propeller. And so they had booked fare on, passage on this ship. What was Havre? Was that rescue or something? Like, so it's like House of Refuge. And just before the voyage, Horatio, some business dealing came up that he had to take care of course. And he said, you know, wife, daughters, four daughters, you know, you go on ahead and I'll take care of this business stuff and I will meet you in Europe just as soon as I can. And so they boarded the ship, a passenger ship, and had a wonderful time. And each night they would meet in their room. The mother would gather them and they'd pray and they'd go to bed. And then on the morning of November, I might as well introduce you to the daughters. There are four daughters. There's the mother is Anna, and the oldest daughter is Annie, age 11, then Margaret Lee, age 9, Bessie, age 5, and little Tanita, age 2. And so early in the morning, like around 2 in the morning on November 22nd, they awoke because of a loud crashing sound and a sudden lurching of the ship. I think Anna fell onto the floor of their room. And that sound was because another ship had just crashed into them. And in fact, it nearly broke the ship in half. And Mrs. Stafford, she did her best to hold together her four girls. And in the confusion of that crisis and getting up to the deck and all, she lost the two older ones and never saw them again. And people tried to launch the lifeboats, and the ones that were hanging out on the moorings, you know, some of them got launched, but the rest of them, you know, all neatly on board the ship. Well, they had recently been painted, or maybe a while back had been painted, and too soon set back down on the wooden deck. Have you ever painted something and set it in place and then found you couldn't pry it loose later? That's exactly what happened. Most of the lifeboats couldn't be broken loose. And so they weren't used. And when the first wave came over the ship, Anna and her youngest two went over, and she's holding on to both as best she could. Pretty soon she lost hold of the older of the two, the five-year-old. And they drifted apart. And then the last thing she remembers before losing consciousness was, probably underwater, was seeing the littlest girl just floating away. And then she lost consciousness. Now, that ship that hit them was doing its best to rescue people just as fast as it could. It was the Loch Earn. And they ended up, somebody spotted Mrs. Spafford, and they hauled her onto the ship. And when she came to and learned that none of her four daughters was saved, she was filled with despair. What was there left to live for? In fact, her first impulse was just to get up and dive back into the ocean that had claimed her four daughters. It had taken 12 minutes for the ship to sink. Pretty fast. And 2/3 of the passengers died that night, and only 1/3 were saved, like Mrs. Spafford. And when she reached land, they landed in a port somewhere in Wales, part of Great Britain. She telegraphed her husband this line: "Survived alone. What shall I do?" Horatio, of course, dropped everything as soon as he got that telegraph and immediately took the next boat to meet Anna. And on the fourth night, it takes a while to take, back then, to take a boat across the Atlantic. On the fourth night, the captain came to him, brought him out on deck, and said, as near as we can figure, this is where the ship went down. This is where you lost your daughters. And he didn't stare towards the watery grave where the boat was, where he'd lost his daughters. He looked up into heaven and he felt this peace like a river come over him. Even though he still felt these sorrows like sea billows rolling over him. And he took out his journal and he wrote down his thoughts. Later he developed that into a song. And then he found this guy, what's his name? Philip Bliss. Philip Bliss put tunes to songs. He'd done many of Fanny Crosby's songs. And he asked Philip Bliss to put a tune to the song he'd written. And it's pretty much the same as the song we have now. You know, Anna had a time in her despair and in her prayers that she felt very clearly that God spoke to her and said, "Anna, I spared you for a reason. You have work to do." And that helped her to move on. The Staffords made their way back to Chicago. They had a boy, and then a few years later they had a girl, and then they lost that boy to scarlet fever, and then they had another girl. And in those years, they stopped going to their Presbyterian church. They started a church in their home, a home group. And after 8 or 9 years, they moved to Israel, and they founded something they called the American Colony, very near Bethlehem. And their purpose there was not so much evangelism, but of serving people who'd lost a lot, like them, and giving aid and comfort. And they didn't care whether they were Jews or Christians or Muslims. And so in time, all three of those communities respected and loved them. And through their descendants, their work and their descendants, they started hospitals. In World War I, they had hospitals helping both sides of the war because they helped anybody. And they got into orphan work. And the Spafford family work is still continuing to this day, some of it. So, question, thought for us this morning is, what gave this family, what gave Horatio, what gave Anna the strength to carry on? It was Christ in their hearts. My Christmas prayer for you and for me is that we would know the peace that Jesus brings. We'd know that peace so well, we would know his peace so closely that we can have the peace of God that passes understanding, that we so much that we can weather any storm, weather any tragedy that happens in our life, that we can even comfort others who have the same thing and point them to Christ. So let's pray before we sing in closing Horatio's song. Did I say that right? Let's pray before we sing in closing. Okay. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We also thank you for life stories that people share of their hardships and sorrows and how you meet their needs. I pray that all of us have room for you, have room for Jesus in our hearts, and that we would have so much of you, that you would have so much of us, that when the seas, the storms of life come, we can still have peace like a river. In Jesus' precious name, amen.